You won't fail me now in the waiting. The same God who's never late is working all things out. You're working all things out. Father God, thank you for this day you've given us to come into your house, Lord, and sing praises unto your holy name. Lord, we are thankful for a place to come, Lord, that you've given us an opportunity to come and look in your word, to be together, Lord, to lift up our voices not only in song, but, Lord, when we lift up our voices in praise, service unto you, Lord, as we give our very best to praise and to be encouraged in you tonight. Father, we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's open our hymn books here to page 473, starting a new quarter. Of course, we got to start it with Victory in Jesus. Amen. Page 473, Victory in Jesus. All three verses tonight. I heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Loved me, yeah. love is cleansing power, revealing how we made the lame to walk again and cause the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and hear my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me and I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to the victory beneath the cleansing flood. Last verse. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea. About the angels singing in the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me. I knew him and all my love is to him. He plunged me to the victory beneath the cleansing flood. Amen. And let's turn to page 344. An oldie but a goodie. Very simple. Verses 1, 2, and 4 tonight. 1, 2, and 4. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. 1, 2, and 4 tonight. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world. This evening, and we are looking tonight in Daniel chapter 6, the book of Daniel chapter 6. If you want to find your place there as I give you a few announcements and then we receive and give prayer requests, we'll be in Daniel 6:16 tonight to begin. We are looking forward to God has moved us in such a fashion that our church is going to be 5 years old, and so we're looking forward to that fifth anniversary over at the Calumet Center, September 17th. There are some flyers out in the welcome area. The information will be in the bulletin this week with a little bit more information specifically for the church folks. But that service reminder will be at 10 a.m. that day. We also want to remind everyone of a few odds and ends here in our bulletin. Youth, they are having an aqua adventure this weekend at the Land of Illusion. And so if you've got youth or grandchildren, that's $25 per person there. You can see the bulletin or Mr. Brandon for more details there. And then also Awana kickoff is this Sunday night. And so all of you Awana workers and all of you Awana parents, the way that's going to work is tonight, or Sunday night, excuse me, we are going to, all the adults, everybody will meet in here at 5 o'clock. The children will meet in their classes, and so they'll get to meet their teachers because some of them have moved up and have new teachers. Some of them still have the same old teacher, but we are going to be meeting the teachers there and getting some rules and getting some fun inside of the classroom so the teachers can kind of set the pace there. Then they'll be moving over to council time. They'll meet their new council time teacher, Mr. Xavier Thompson, there. And he'll be going through the rules. And at 6 p.m., they'll move outside with Brother Logan and the gang people. And so the kids will go outside for a half an hour. And myself and Ms. Chandra and Mr. Brandon will be there in that parent meeting to be able to answer questions and kind of set expectations, give you all the odds and ends of the Awana year. And it's really kind of interesting right now. Awana is down. Because we had so many youth graduate and move up to youth, and we don't have any really any little kids moving up, just a couple. And so we're looking forward to that this year, and I think it's going to give us an opportunity to kind of, I don't want to say ease in, but give us an opportunity to get in there and get going, and then hopefully throughout the year we get new families and new folks coming in there that can get accustomed and acclimated. We also have our first ever college and career. I went and picked up, you know, Brother Sean, he's been around long enough, he knows I like free stuff. And so he said, hey, we got this pulpit, and it's nice and tall. He said, would you like it? And I said, it's free, of course. So we picked that up today, and that's the new college and career pulpit, and I'm excited about it. So it's in there. We've got the class moved around like it needs to be. And so Sister Raven, we kicked her out of the youth tonight. Everybody say, oh, she's all by herself in here. And but then we thought, Chandra and I brainstormed, and we said, you know, Grayson and Raven don't really have anything to do on Wednesdays now, so how about we assign them to the nursery? And they both said yes. And so there it is. See how that works out? You graduate from youth, and you get a new job. But we're going to be meeting together Sunday. I'm going to be their teacher. Brother Matthew Backscheider will be in there with me. And then starting September 3rd, Sister Randy Sternscher will be in there. And my wife is taking over the ladies' Sunday school class. She's going to begin to teach that class. And then Miss Becky Hackney is going to be going in with Miss Dawn into the nursery during Sunday school. So kind of a realignment there so that we can get Miss Chandra out of the nursery some, but also because Miss Randy wants to be in there, so you won't be the only girl right now, right? But we're going to build it quickly. 6 months from now, we're going to be like, hey, guess what? We got to get another room. We're going to be back at the shelter, right? So we're excited about that, the Rooted College and Career Ministry. That's for folks that are graduated from high school, 18 to 25. So anybody you know like that, send them here, starting at 9:15 on Sunday mornings until October 2nd, or the second week of October, where we will then have three services in the morning. We'll have our Sunday school at 10, but we'll have an early service at 9 and a later service at 11. Nothing changes on Sunday night or Wednesdays, so don't worry about that, but that's coming that second week of October, because the first week of October, we have Brother Terrell Hudson coming to do revival, and so we're just going to change it the next week, so I want you to be aware of that. And then the last thing that I really wanted to mention to you all is that there's going to be lots of construction and lots of things going on. Most of it, to be quite honest with you, most of it Mr. Brandon's doing, but some of it I'm helping with, the things that I know how to do, and Brother Dan and some other guys in and out. So hold all your questions or ideas or comments until we're finished with the construction, because we probably already thought of it, but we just have to take our time, because, you know, at the same time, me and Mr. Brandon have other things to do other than build here at the church, right? So if you see things, the parking lot's going to be getting widened. There's different things that are going to be going on. So have a little grace and work with us as we work around it. All of this is for the beautifying and bettering of our church and our church family, so that we can have as much space as we possibly can. We're going through things and thinking through things, meeting with the deacons and trustees again in September. That we just said, you're in it now. It just happened like that. And so when all those projects are finished, you'll know. But at the moment, give us a little grace, because it's not like we have a construction crew in here. Me and Mr. Brandon still have to go to the hospital and to the nursing homes and preach and go to Bible study and preachers' meetings. We don't have all the time in the world just to sit here and paint and clean. But just know that it's getting done. And by the time it's all finished, when it's all finished, it's going to be a glory to God. Amen? All right? So just know that if you would just kind of, it can get overwhelming, because trust me, Brandon and Nancy have enough ideas, all right? So we just want to kind of pace that. All right, kids, you ready for this? Yeah. September 6th, children's choir starts back up. And so you got a few weeks after Awana kicks off, and then you'll be able to leave me on Wednesdays, and we'll go back to having you all pray and have your child, your children's song, and then be dismissed in the middle of that, so you can go back to kids' choir. Looking forward to that as well. Not to get you guys out of here, looking forward to kids' choir. So that's coming up as well. So you guys will go use your little voices. And what a wonderful job last week all the kids did from Splash Camp and Miss Katie and everybody singing. That was a real blessing to my soul personally. how God used them, and just having everybody in here together. Having a full house on Wednesday with the noon service, everybody together was a little different, wasn't it? Having the youth in here. So we're just excited about that. All right, let me give you a couple of prayer requests here, and then we will take the rest. I didn't know her last name, and I didn't ask Don or Dave because I figured God knew, but it was on the door, and I never really paid attention to it because we just called her Miss Millie. But Miss Millie, she was the roommate and dear friend of Miss Ella Warren, one of our members, Miss Don's mother over at Friendship Village here in Trotwood, and she passed away last Tuesday. And it was crazy. I just saw her Monday, and she was up sitting there smiling, and her and Miss Ella were just inseparable. Brandon and I would go see them. They were always together, no matter where. And so she's gone on to glory, but we want to continue to pray for her and her family, the Fortunatos, and Miss Ella. We took Brother Chuck over to meet Miss Ella today and had a great visit with her. And so keep them in your prayers. We also want to continue to praise God for all the visitors and salvations and baptisms that have been going on. More visitors again Sunday, some return visitors again Sunday. And that's just a real blessing to us that God continues to allow us to have those things. And remember, Grows tomorrow night at 6:30. We're going to be meeting down the street from where we were the other day, but we're going to be meeting at the park, at Union Park, down on Phillipsburg Union Road. And that's going to be a fun time. I'll divvy you out. We're going to be doing some of those farm streets, Lexington Farm and such and such farm and such and such farm, all those streets. But we had a visitor for Sunday morning and Sunday night. Roy was here. Roy Laycox came to church, and he got a packet on Grow last Thursday and said, you know what, I think I ought to try this out. And when he was leaving Sunday, he said, I think I found a home. Well, brother, listen, you're welcome to come. But, hey, listen, if we got one person all summer from Grow, which actually that's not true because Miss Dawn, your cooking class, I can't remember their names, but the two little kids that came, yeah, had to go back, but they came all summer until the last couple weeks when they had to move back, and that was from Grow. They got a packet from Grow, so our kids program. So, hey, listen, if four people is what we get from Grow all year, four people is worth it, amen? Four souls is worth it, so that's a blessing. And then also I want to just kind of, I don't watch the news enough, but I know that that the worst wildfires in the history of our country are going on in Maui and Hawaii right now, so we need to be praying for those fires. You probably know way more about it because I don't watch the news too much. I just read about it. But we want to be praying for all those families and people out there in Maui, all right? 86 people. I know it's horrible. I just don't watch the news too much. All right. Anybody have a prayer request or updates for us today? And all the kids praying. A lot of them started school. Who started school today? Ezekiel raised his hand. Ezekiel's like, yes, me. Emmy, okay. First day of kindergarten. Second grade. Are you at a new school now? Are you at Union?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Kindergarten in Arcanum?
Yeah.
Kindergarten camp. It's all the same, isn't it? I mean, he's like, it's going to be a long day. I mean, all right. Declan, you started first grade today? Land of the Lord. Okay, well, okay. All right, praise the Lord. Good to have the Bristers back in the land of the living, right? And so we're glad to see you guys tonight, feeling better there. But yeah, all of our kids are going to school. We got college people going off to college, and so we're praying for them. That's kind of a awesome thing, a time of year. I know the kids don't think so, but for all the parents, it's the most wonderful time, right? So no, but praise the Lord. Keep all those teachers and aides and everybody, cooks, custodians, everybody in your prayers, bus drivers, principals, all administration. We just want to keep all those folks in our prayers. Prayer requests. Miss Debbie? What's their name? Like P-E-N-N-E-L, kind of? Two L's? Cool. Pretty good. And praise the Lord. Don and Debbie made it through 10 weeks of cooking class. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Brother Kenton made it through 10 weeks of T-ball and wiffle ball, and praise God for that. And it was something else out there, boy. If you didn't take a little trip out there, it was something special, wasn't it? Miss Raven made it all the way through. Good job, Miss Raven. We don't care about the rest of the youth that made it through, because just Raven. All right. Praise be to God. Anybody? Brother Kenton? Glad you said Birdie's getting over cold, but glad you said something about Birdie, because Miss Maddie was here this afternoon. But pray for Brother Carter. He's out in Phoenix, Arizona for work, And then Philip and Cynthia are traveling. And then our friends, the Chapman, Steve and Karen are also traveling. And then praise be to God, Sister Bev made it back safely and is here. And please contact Sister Bev. It's on Facebook. Or you can get a hold of me and I'll get a hold of her. But if you know anybody that wants to buy a pop-up, it's a really good deal, really clean, nice pop-up. But Miss Bev, there's kind of some prayer requests there. She wants to get that offloaded. She got a new camper and she needs the space, but some other things there. So.
And I have one more set of those on the 21st. But last week, I had an eye doctor appointment, and I have glaucoma, and I've got several things, and I've had lots of massive eye surgeries. But he told me last week that the cornea of the right eye is breaking down and deteriorating. So I have to use medication 4 times a day, and then he'll recheck that in 6 months. Thinks it will heal, but he said, and I don't have any feeling in that eye from all the surgeries, the nerves have been severed, and he can't believe that I'm not in any pain in spite of what I've already been through, but I think that's just a blessing that I don't feel it.
Yeah. Right,
so,
but the pains.
Just need
it. Yes, ma'am. So pray for Miss Carrie Knoth. It's on here, on your second column down, towards the middle, a little bit further down in the middle. But keep praying for her back. She's had these injections, and one started to work, so that was a blessing. But she's got some more, and then her eye is really breaking down the cornea there. So pray in this medicine 4 times a day. Pray for that. Ms. Violet? Jennifer Keegan, and a brain tumor. Okay, got it. It's Haley.
My mom's cousin's wife, I don't know her name, got in a bad car accident that she's in the hospital with like 6 or 7 broken ribs and punctured lung, broken leg. That's what she was away from home, so she's in Kentucky and from Ohio.
Sheesh. Okay. So, and pray for Miss Haley, too, with her broken back.
Well, it's getting better.
Getting better? Okay, good. Praise God. All right. Well, let's look at Daniel chapter 6 here. Of course, if you have any other prayer requests, best method is to email them to Sister Nancy because she's a lot better at it than me. But if you must, you can email them to myself or Brother Brandon or text them. But Miss Nancy, she'll do a lot better job. Just being honest with you. She's more diligent than us. So we'll pray for them, but we won't get them to the list a lot of times. All right, let's look in Daniel chapter 6. We'll read here. We're going to be doing a series, not necessarily through the book of Revelation, but every 3 years I like to go through Prophet of 2020. So it's time for me to do that again. Went through the book of Daniel 4 or 5 years ago. We were meeting at Inglewood Elementary School. So and Isaiah has so many things tied into prophecy that we've been speaking about that I think it's a great time for us to go through. Largely a lot of the book of Revelation, but we'll probably add and do other things with that. And I thought about doing that on Sunday mornings to get a larger group of people familiar with it. But then I thought to myself, I'm probably going to do it on Wednesdays and be able to just teach through that and part that out. So I'm believing right now that Wednesday, starting in September, when the kids go back, because I will absolutely just horrify them with some of the things and then the book of Revelation, other things. When they go back to kids choir, we'll start going through some of the end time things and going through that very detailed, the most detailed that I've ever gone through it. As we shift into our 5th year, we'll begin to, just as a pastor, you kind of wait around for people to continue to mature, and a lot of people at our church have been saved and baptized at our church, and so they're newer Christians. And this year, going with our 5th year, it's just kind of time for me to start reaching deeper into some things. And so you'll kind of notice that shift coming up here in September where we'll be starting to really hit some things. And it might be stuff that you don't know. So you're going to have to really keep up with me here in the next couple of weeks or next couple of months. But Daniel chapter 6, we're looking tonight, a very familiar story. The children in this room have probably heard this story, those who have been in church for very long at all. If you've not, no shame on you. Because we're going to read it, but this is the story of Daniel in the lion's den. And there's lots that we can glean from this chapter and from these verses, but I want you to read along with me here in Daniel 6, starting in verse 16, and then we will kind of talk about the history and the things going on there. The Bible says, "Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee." If you take notes, write that verse out to the side or mark it, because we'll come back to that. "And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den. And the king sealed it with his own signet." That's simply his ring or his stamp. It would be like our signature today. "And with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever." That's another important verse that you might mark or write out to the side. "My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lion's mouth, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt." Then was the king exceedingly glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. It's a crazy story. And did some damage to Judah. And then we've talked about how Isaiah is already prophesying about Babylon, even though in Isaiah's day, the Assyrians are actually the big country and the people who caused the most problems. But we know in the story of Daniel that at the beginning, Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, those folks were in charge, and that they had deported the Jews, and they had broken down the temple, and that they had moved them and not allowed them to do worship unto the Lord. We know that those children were thrown in the fiery furnace, but we also know that Daniel comes through and writes many, many tekel upharsin and the writing on the wall and explains to the king what's going to happen to their kingdom. And so now we're at the third of those kingdoms Daniel prophesied, the Medo-Persian kingdom. And in this kingdom, we see that now the king Darius has really, remember Daniel, he was wiser and he had a better testimony than any of the children of Israel, the Hebrew children, and he had been given a lofty position in the king's court. But wherever the Lord is blessing, there's an enemy. And so now we see these men assemble themselves, of the Medo-Persians, and really what they are is racist. They're anti-Semites. No people has ever been more hated and judged than the Jewish people in the history of mankind. Not the African-American here in America, or not the African in South Africa, not the Irish and Catholic, Protestant and Catholic debate, but the Jewish people have been the most hated. The anti-Semitic world thing has hated them, not because of their race, but because of their God. The same thing is going on here in the book of Daniel, and these men come against the king and say, hey, this Daniel fella, he's going to keep praying and keep trying to follow Jehovah God, and we don't want them to be able to do that. And the king gets tricked into it ultimately, and he signs a law, and he says, okay, you can't pray to any other gods or anybody else, because they'll say, oh, king, you're the God, because these are pagan people. Just like Caesar, they would say, Caesar, you're God, right? And so now Daniel, being the faithful person Daniel is, Daniel goes back to his place and he prays towards Jerusalem three times a day. And they go and spy it out and find out that Daniel's still praying to Jehovah God. So they go back to the king and they say, king, your law, they put it back on him, your law says that he's not allowed to do this. And so the penalty for this is death. Now, one of the more horrible ways of death, there was the fiery furnace, we already know, right? But one of the more horrible ways of death in their time was a lion's den. It was probably a cave where they would put lions. The Bible says lions, it's plural, and so at least two. And in that lion's den, they would have lions whom they would not feed for many days at a time, maybe months at a time. And so you've got a den or a cave full of hungry lions with a stone rolled in front of it. And when they put someone in there to die, obviously, want to do it. Don't believe that Darius was completely a believer in Jehovah God, but he had been around Daniel long enough that he had some understanding that Daniel's God was some kind of power, some kind of authority. I believe Darius was probably still believed in multiplicity of gods, but he did certainly believe that Daniel's God was a God. Now, we know Daniel's God is the God. But what we see here tonight is some crazy contrast and similarities. First thing I want you just to think about is Daniel being upright and just, perfect in his ways, the Bible says, is criticized. An angry mob of people go to the governmental authority and say, this guy is wrong, even though we know he's all right. And it's very similar to the angry Jewish crowd going to Pontius Pilate and saying, this guy, Jesus, is wrong. And Darius says, hey, I don't want to do this, but it can't be changed. And he says, Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And he allows it to happen. And it's very similar to Pontius Pilate. When they came to him, he said, I find no fault in this man. But because of the angry mob, because of the people of the day wanting this person dead, they basically said, King, you can't go back on your word. And if you go back on your word, you're a treasonous and you'll have to die, King. And it's the same thing they did to Pilate. They said, if you don't do this, you're no friend to Caesar. They said, Pilate, if you don't kill Jesus, then Caesar is going to kill you. And when they do that, Daniel is taken to a cave and he's thrown inside the cave and a stone is rolled in front of it. As Jesus Christ, when he was killed, he goes to the cross, but then he's thrown into a cave and a stone was rolled in front of it. Now, Daniel was resurrected in a different way. He was resurrected by the man who we know as Jesus Christ. Maybe not a Christophany where Jesus shows up in the Old Testament. Some people don't believe in that. Doesn't matter to me. The Bible says that Jacob wrestled with God. But whether it's God or an angel of God, it's the representation. It's all the full force of God. God gave it all the power of God. But we see that resurrection happens where he never dies. Nothing happens to him. But I want you to think about these two lions. At least two lions. The Bible most prevalently speaks of two lions in the form of Jesus Christ, the lion of the tribe of Judah, and then also of the roaring lion, who is Satan himself. But I think about that and I think this. You know, the Bible says that Daniel says the angel of the Lord has shut the lion's mouth. This roaring lion, Satan, he is the chief power back of all the enemies of God. And so even in Daniel's time, he would have been the one pushing the angry mobs and pointing them to go and to see the king put Daniel to death. But inside of this lion's den, there is at least two lions. But what I know from the word of God is this. Satan has the ability. He took form of a serpent, right? But then he was cursed. And he was cursed above all oxen and above all cattle, I should say. And when that happened, but what had God done? You're in charge. Eve could have very simply stepped on Satan's head, the serpent. Satan not, wouldn't have died, but that serpent he was in would have died. We know Satan took the form or went into Judas Iscariot, but nowhere else in the Bible do we see Satan have power over animals in that sense or that situation. We see God have all that authority, God with Jonah as well. Even when the devils were inside of the young man, Jesus, they said, suffer us not to die or suffer us to go into these swine, right, into these pigs. And Jesus put them in there. But when they rush down into the water and commit suicide, they die in there. I know suicide. You didn't get it. But anyway, when they go down there and commit suicide, the devils rush out, right? They don't have any charge. They couldn't stop the pigs. So as far as I know, the devil has no power over these animals. But because we've been given dominion and because the God of the universe lives in us, we have the power, right, over these animals. So inside here are these roaring lions that would be very hungry, that would want to eat Daniel. But anybody here play spades? Okay, anybody here play euchre? You know how good you feel when you have the big joker? When you got the big joker, nothing can stop you. If it's your only card, it's hard to bluff because you're sitting there like this. I've got the big joker, right? The little joker makes you feel kind of good, but the big joker, if you're playing euchre and it's spades, if you got the jack of spades, you feel really good. You start talking stuff then. Like, oh, partner, I don't know. We might have to go on a loner here. If you have the jack of clubs, you feel kind of good, but when you got the jack of spades, you feel real good. You know, Daniel's in there, and They say this. They say the reason why Daniel was never hurt is because he was all backbone. I know, because he believed God. But Daniel's in there, and he's like, these little lions are the little joker, but I got the big joker.
Amen.
These are the jack of clubs, but I got the jack of spades. And when you see that, you think about this illustration. When Jesus went to the grave, Satan doesn't know the future. Satan, the devouring lion, the roaring lion, 1 Peter 5:8, he thinks, I've got this thing won. I've been trying all these years. You know, Satan was always trying to kill the line of Jesus Christ. He was trying to get David's sons to kill David. He was trying to get Solomon to get out of the way through Jezebel and other ways. He was trying to get rid of all these people to the line of Christ. And finally, he sees Jesus Christ die, and he thinks, I've won this thing. And then all of a sudden, inside of that 3 days, the big joker shows up and closes the mouth of the roaring lion, Satan, and defeats him once and for all. Now, he doesn't know that he's ultimately beat. He does know he's going to lose because he can read the Bible. But Jesus goes into the grave and shuts the mouth of the angry lion against us, and that lion can no longer devour any of us because Jesus has shut his mouth to those who have believed. The Bible says it's the last enemy, and Jesus defeated it, which is death. And so when we sing victory in Jesus, Jesus has victory over death, hell, and the grave, and even the angry roaring lion who is Satan, and he has shut his mouth against us. So even when you're in your lion's den, and hard times come and bad things are going on, even little joker. The Bible says it in Revelation, and we didn't know what we were going to do. It was a bad time. We said, who can open the books? And all of a sudden they saw one and they said, don't fear, because here he comes. The lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed. It's the big joker. You know, if you play like me, you slap that thing on the table hard, right? Boom, there's the big joker right there for you, right? And it's always great when it's the last card and everybody's nervous. Are we going to get set back, or are we going to get it? And you're sitting there that whole time and you know you got that thing, or you got that stopper, and then you hit them with the boom, and the smile. It's one of the greatest feelings in all the history of cards, isn't it? So Daniel says, you know what? I got the big joker. Let me show you three things, three reasons to be encouraged, how Daniel was encouraged, and there's three ways that we are encouraged as well. In Daniel chapter 6, we see there, I told you to keep this verse in your heart, Daniel 6:16, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. The king says that, a secular pagan person who has some belief, but let me tell you from Daniel 6:16 how this works for you and I. Even the so-called atheists, you know your pastor doesn't believe in atheists, but I believe that there are suppressionalists. They know the truth because the Bible says they do, but they have not believed it, or they've hidden the truth because they don't want it. But listen, I want you to understand this. The atheist, or the world, or the secular world, you can go to the most liberal of all news stations during election time, and they all say things like this. The evangelical vote, such and such candidate to win the evangelicals. You know what they're saying, whether they believe it or not, because the book of Romans chapter 1 says that they all know. They just choose to suppress. You know what they're saying? They're saying what the king said. The king doesn't necessarily believe fully in God, in Jehovah God, but there's some belief that your God that you service will continually deliver thee. He's saying, you can choose a news network, I don't care, but they're saying there's some power in this voting block who says that they are evangelicals or Christians. There's some power, even if it's just in our political prowess in voting. It's the truth. It should give you some encouragement, because what's happening is even the lost world, they know there's some power in the church. Even the lost world knows there's some prevalence in the way that we preach and speak. They know that there's, watch this, a following of people who oppose them, who, like Daniel, no matter what the rules of the land are, no matter what the laws are, will stand up with enough backbone for the word of God. They say those people will continue to serve that God continually, and he's going to deliver them at some time, some place. You know, that's why in America, at least, why they haven't come against the church. If they could have come against the church, there have been administrations, Republican and Democrat, by the way, there have been wars and things that have fought. If they had the power to come against the church, they would have come against the church already. They've tried in spurts, like trying the mayor of Houston, trying to make sure that we have, that we give our sermons out because they don't want any hate speech. They tried in California in 2020 and 2021 with COVID. They tried to shut down. We went to a preacher's meeting yesterday, a pastor from New Life Baptist Church in LA County. They tried to shut them down, and we're going to fine them, and went after him personally, and we're going to sue him. They've tried. But the big joker. But we got the big town. No matter what you believe about John MacArthur's doctrine and theology, they tried to shut him down in California. He said, we're not going to shut down. We'll keep paying the fines in 2020. We're going to keep going. You know why? Because we got the big joker. Because even though, why would they be working so hard to shut us down? If our God be no God, if our God has no authority, why are you so mad about it? Why do you hate us so much? You know what? When I know, because you play cards and you got your partner, you know when your partner don't have a good hand. Because you talk about how many you can you get. You're like, one, maybe two, or the possible, right? And you're going. And if you know you got nothing, you're going, oh, well, we're about to take a loss on this one. So you bid low, right? But when you've got God, you bid high. See, the world has to bid low on us because they're not quite sure. They don't want to believe our God, but there's just enough evidence of our God that they can't fool out, try to come against us. They say, it just might be possible. They say, we got one in a possible. It might be possible that we don't get enough, that we don't have. And you know what really hurts them? You know what really gets them mad is when our God shows up and slaps them across the face a little bit. And we'll get to that at the end here. But then I want you to see this. The other verse I said that I want you to look at is verse 21. Christian, I want you to really get this. Daniel said unto the king, O king, live forever. I want you to realize what happened here. It's really the epitome of what Jesus said on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The king had the ability to stand up for Daniel and say, I will not put Daniel in the lion's den. I'm the king. I don't care about that law. I'll make a new law. But the king, in his fear of the people, he allowed Daniel, whom he did not want to die. It's clear in the scriptures. He allowed him to go before the lions, and he says, I'm just going to give it over to God. But he had the ability. God had given him the power, the sovereignty as king of all the Medo-Persian Empire to say, we're not putting Daniel in there. I don't care what you say. And the next person that says something, off with their head. And I'll show you how I know that in a moment. He absolutely could have said that, but he went ahead. But I want you to know what Daniel did. Daniel didn't act like Christians. You listen to me really closely tonight. You ready? Walk with me. Let's walk around the text a little bit. When somebody does us wrong, or when somebody hurts us, we got to say something. We got to get argumentative, don't we? We can't be like Jesus and forgive them. We can't be like what Jesus says. We can't be blessed are the peacemakers. We can't pray for those who hate us. We can't pray for our enemy. But Daniel, he could have looked at the king and went like, this is what most of us would have done. King, I can't believe you. All this time I've been good to you and you allowed them to put me in the lion's den? I can't believe this happened. King, I've been good. You know I've never done anything wrong to you. You know I've served you. You know I've bowed down. You know I've cried out to you and you allowed them to put me in the lion's den? I could have died in that place, king. But listen, when you know you got the big joker, you don't got to argue with fools. Listen, the person in charge or the leader is always the person. The person, listen, often the quietest person in the room. And the loudest person in the room is often the weakest person in the room. It doesn't always work like this. But you know what? I don't argue with people because when you're a pastor, what happens a lot of times is it could be somebody else's fault or they could have had a blowout with somebody else in church, but somehow you got the blame. You didn't fix it. You didn't do it. You know, I talk like I talk because I just am who I am. But you know, they'll say, oh, you did this, you did this. And a lot of times, it doesn't really have anything to do with me. It's their problem. It's their issue. But I don't argue with people about it because you know what I know? My God's the big joker. He knows. The reason why you defend yourself and argue is because you want to be right. But I don't want you to want to be right. Daniel could have argued and he would have been right. But Daniel could have argued and he also could have got killed for arguing with the king. A lot of times what happens to us is we want to argue and it's actually just killing you. It's making things worse. Instead of stopping where you're at and saying, you know what, I'm going to, even when it's not what you want, even when it's not something you like, for you to stop and be in a humble position like Daniel, and he said, oh, king, live forever. You realize the first thing Daniel said when he came out of there? Look, in verse 20, the king cries, and he says, Daniel, are you okay? Are you in there, buddy? And Daniel didn't say, praise be to God. He said, oh, king, the king live forever. The person that put him to death, his signature is what signed his death. He signed his death certificate, and Daniel comes out saying, oh, king, live forever. We can learn a lot from that as people, because I'm like you. I want to argue with people. I want to get them when they do something to me, when they say something I don't like. I want to get them. But the spiritual man, the spiritual position, the upright person as Daniel, even when you've been thrown in the lion's den by someone, we call it this in our day, even when somebody throws you under the bus and tramples on you, to come out on the other side, the more nobler, the more wiser, the more sweeter, to pray for those who despitefully hate you, to be a peacemaker, to be blessed in that sense, the meek shall inherit the earth. To be that person, you must come out of it like Daniel. And you know what you say to those people? You don't have to call them king, but you say, it's okay, brother. We sang it tonight. It's just how God matches it up. Jennifer and Bev could both tell you, I didn't write this sermon before I sent those songs, but he's got the whole world in his hands. So why are we arguing with people when God's already got it figured out? I never argue with anybody. Go back to the illustration. I never argue with anybody when their ace cuts my king when I got the big joker. I just go, thought you had something, didn't you? And I'm holding it back, and I'm just waiting for that time. I don't have to say much. Now, again, we're prideful people, so we slam it down, but I don't have to. I can say back. You know, one of the greatest feelings is when you have all the cards, you know, and they get there. It only happens every once in a while, and you can just lay them down. Some people don't like that. They're like, well, play it out, play it out. If I've got the big joker, the little joker, and the ace, we don't got to play it out. Why are we wasting time? Here we go. And I say Jesus is the big joker, but in reality, Jesus is all the cards. He allows the cards to be dealt, 52 of them, and you get what you get. But at any point in time, Jesus can say, you know what, I assume authority over all this. What, God has all the cards, because Daniel had seen something. Now, I believe Daniel saw this visually. Not everybody agrees with me, but look at verse 22. He said, why did he say that, king? He said, there's no reason. When you just come back from a near-death experience, even though the king put you in this position, there's no reason to argue when you know that God has just showed the big joker. When I already won the book, there's no reason to argue about the book because I already won it. Think about this. We already know the book that we win. And because we have the book, we don't have to argue with people about the book. We can just preach the book, teach the book, love the book, and they'll get it or they won't. But he says, my God hath sent his angel and shut the lion's mouths that they have not hurt me. See, the lions were coming against them. People will say, oh, I don't think the lions were very hungry, or I don't think the lions were. No, Daniel says the lions' mouths were open. He says lions, plural, mouths, plural. Their mouths were open. They were looking to eat me. But my God, see, whether you believe it's Jesus Christ in form and flesh, even though the Bible says he was made flesh as a virgin, but either way, it's the power of God. What happens here is this. Think about this. Maybe, I don't know, one soldier killed, if you were listening Sunday night, killed 185,000 Assyrian soldiers. And so maybe there's 185,000 lions, and one angel of the Lord is able to shut all their mouths, because that's the power of God. So maybe there was 185,000 lions in that den. I doubt it. But going around, that would have been a lot of lions to catch, wouldn't it? They're going around there and looking for them. But hungry animals eat regardless. You know, I got a little dog, and he's bougie, and he wants to eat from the kitchen table. He doesn't want to eat his dog food. He wants to eat what we have. And he will not eat his hard food for days on end. He will pour it in the bowl, and he will not eat it. And if the kids keep feeding him hot dogs or chicken or anything off their plate, he'll never eat that. But when we say, stop giving that dog that, he needs to eat hard food for his teeth and things like that, 3 or 4 days later, he's so fed up with not eating, he'll start finally eating that hard food. So a lion, after a few days, a lion's going to want to eat, and they're going to have a hungry mouth. Listen, this is gross, and I don't want you to take this, but one time when I was working at the sheriff's office, an elderly gentleman had a dog, and he lived by himself, and he had passed away, and we went into the house, and the dog hadn't been fed for maybe a month or so. He didn't have any family, and the dog was beginning to eat at his flesh, because a hungry dog is going to eat. But our God is such that these hungry lions, as soon as they would have seen Daniel, they would have went after him to eat him, to gorge him. And our God's angel shut their mouths, the power of God. God is able to shut the mouths of the lions around you, friend. The things that are going on around you, he's able to shut it. Be encouraged in that. And then lastly, I want you to be encouraged that God will get his pound of flesh. That God not only wins, but God's judgment and wrath is better than your judgment and wrath. You stop trying to get vengeance. He said, vengeance is mine. I will pay, right? The Lord said that anyway. But you stop trying. When somebody does you wrong, when somebody makes you mad, when somebody throws you into the lion's den, you just say, oh, king, live forever, and move on about your business. Basically, he believed God. Watch this. The scripture literally says that Daniel believed God. Watch. In verse 23, at the end of the verse, it said there was no hurt was found upon him because he believed in his God. He believed. What did he believe about his God? He believed that the lion, he saw that the lion's mouth was shut, and he didn't have to worry about trying to get vengeance because he knew God was going to take care of it. Watch what happens in the next verse. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast him into the den of lions. Them, their children, and their wives, and the lions had the mastery of them and break all their bones in pieces wherever they came at the bottom of the den. So those men that accused, they died, their wives died, and their children died. Now, people that hate our God will say, well, that sounds really harsh. Those are the people who say, your God's a murderer. He killed. But listen, this is why God had to do it. Because if you raise a racist, if you're a racist, you probably raise a racist. Not always. But if you're training them that way, these are anti-Semitic people. They hate the Jews. And so their wives are probably joined up in that. So remember God told the children of Israel when they went into the land to utterly destroy all those enemies. And they refused to do it. They didn't kill them all. And still to this day, we talked about it in Isaiah, they didn't get rid of all the Philistines technically. And the Philistines are the same word as the Palestinians. And the Palestinians are still causing God's people trouble to this day. Because they didn't utterly destroy. He said, utterly destroy the Midianites. They didn't do it. The whole book of Judges, utterly destroy them. And they kept messing it up and not utterly destroying them. When Gideon did get rid of them, then as soon as Gideon died, they said, you know what? Let's put the league with the Midianites. And the Midianites came right back. And they won't get rid of these people, the perpetual enemies of God. But when God utterly destroys something, when God does it himself, when he ends something, he ends it for good. He says, I'm going to kill their wives and their children because I'm not going to allow their children to grow up and hate my people. So I'm going to destroy them all. So all the enemies of Daniel at that moment that had come against him and conspired, God killed them all. Even the children. You say, why did he have to kill the little kids? Because I use it because it's a common thing here in the United States of America, and I'm not just talking civil war because there's the Nation of Islam and there are folks who hate on both sides, black, white, whatever they are. But there are people that in 2023 really wish the South would have won. There's people like that. Why? Because they've been raised in a place and a time where they probably have been taught that, and it's probably been passed down to hate somebody of a different race, to hate segregation, to hate these things, and so they keep on going. Not so long ago, many of you in this room grew up in the time of the civil rights movement where that was still a real thing in lots of parts of our country. My parents are old enough to where they couldn't swim in the whites-only pools in Kentucky when they were growing up. It's true. And so when you're raised like that and you continue to have that, there are people around this place. There are African Americans. It started with Farid Muhammad and moved on to Elijah Muhammad and moved on really through Malcolm X and to Louis Farrakhan, who's still alive at 90 years old today, the Nation of Islam, and a real hate and a want to be segregated from white people who also are anti-Semites. They hate Jews and everybody that doesn't look like them. And what do? They have schools and they train those young people up and their wives are the people, Sharia law. And Islam, their wives aren't allowed to show their face or do anything because they're not even allowed to think for themselves because they're just in subjection to their husband. So what does that mean? So their wives are going to carry Muslims, okay? So you got to understand that. I'm talking about people that hate, and this would work for white Christians, white Muslims, black Muslims, but people that are trained to hate, if the husband won't do it, the wife will take up in his stead and do it for him. And if the wife won't do it, they're raising up a son or a daughter who will take up that cause. And so God utterly destroys. Why do I bring all that up? Because when God destroys your enemies, he destroys them for good. It may not be a physical destroying, but it'd be a physical destroying from your mind. You ever had an enemy? You ever had somebody that's done you wrong, and all of a sudden, it doesn't bother you anymore? It's just been taken away? Because when you believe God, the more you pray and you ask God to take care of it, God, you deal with it because I can't deal with it. You don't try to get back at him. You just say, oh, King, live forever. You don't do anything to get yourself out of the position that you're supposed to be in. You don't take away from your nobility and uprightness and your salvation. And you just allow God to deal with it because you believe God. God will get rid of it supernaturally and you won't have to even raise a finger. It's happened to me lots of times. Can I be real honest with you? It's kind of just the nature of both of my full-time jobs in my life. As a corrections officer, there are people that just hate you. There's people that eventually you make them follow the rules and they just don't like you. And there's some people in there that you fight with and you get into arguments with and that have said nasty things to you. And that's why, you know, I always say being a corrections officer and being a pastor aren't that much different. I'm kind of built for this. It just rolls off my back like water off a duck's back at this point. It's probably not so sensitive or spiritual, but it just kind of how it is. My feelings just don't get hurt that easily. Because I worked as the only black officer in Clinton County, Ohio, a place that it could be considered the place where my wife was from. It's named Clanchester. And I've been called everything. Drunk people come in the middle of the night. Just trust me. Lots of stuff have happened. I've been spat on and all different things. And all I'm saying to you is you can harbor that energy and you can harbor that frustration and that angry. But you know what's happened to me over the years and after prayer and things? I don't even remember those people and those things hardly anymore. I remember some of those times, but I don't harbor. If one of those folks walked into our church this evening, I would preach Jesus to them. I actually did. I went back to that same jail and preached Jesus to the same people that maybe 2 or 3 months prior to that I was fighting and they were calling me names and hating me. And there's a freedom in that. There's a blessing in that. And then you think about just church. You know, inside of churches, things happen and people get upset and this bad, this good, this whatever. But at the end of the day, God knows. God knows. And you can only do what you can do. You can do your best. You can make the best decisions you can make and all these things. But God is the author and finisher of the faith. So that means he's the beginning, he's the end, and everything in between. He's the whole thing. Like I said, he's all 52 cards. And so if you get anything out of this message tonight, Daniel chapter 6, 16 through 24, what I gathered from that book mostly is this. And it's not very spiritual, but it's just a good illustration. God's the big joker. Sometimes they call that, what, the stopper. Only call it Trump, right? Not Donald, but the thing that overrides everything else, right? We say that's the best card in the deck. You ever had those bicycle cards and one joker's real little and one's real big? Or sometimes they're the same and so you got to write big and little on them. You know what I'm talking about? When you get that big one, there's just a different feeling about that, right? You think about the smile that comes across your face when you get a loner hand in euchre. You're over there cheesing. You can't wait to get started and start throwing those cards. And I know some of those people, they like to milk it. They know they got all the cards and they're going to win, but they're going to throw the 10 of spades out first just to try to get everybody like, no, I know you guys don't have any trumps, so let me throw the 10. Just let it be more painful for you, right? Those are the people that aren't as spiritual. But the people that are holier say, we're just going to let God take care of it right now. We don't even need to lay all our cards down. I got all five of them right here. Just go ahead and lay them down, hand them on over. That's a loner, that's four, and we'll move on to the next ball. We don't have to worry about the worldly people coming against us. We don't have to be argumentative or riot or go after them because our God is the big joker. He's got it all under control. He'll stop the things against us. He'll fight for us and close the mouth of the lions. And I believe this with all my heart. The Bible says that Daniel didn't have a mark on him. Amen. He didn't get one scratch. No harm, no hurt came to him. I believe this, and not everybody, but I believe that those lions were coming after Daniel. I believe they were, he said their mouths were open. They were snarling. I believe they were pacing. They were hungry. I believe they were running at him. And I believe almost in a moment in time, Daniel standing there and Daniel and all his belief, I believe Daniel was afraid because it would be human nature. Daniel was one bad man if he wasn't afraid at all. And I believe these lions were coming. And I believe almost in mid-jump or mid-lunge, the lions coming at him. And I believe God just allowed Daniel right up to it just to show how strong. And God went and closed their mouths. And Daniel saw it. You know, when you got saved, God closed the mouth of the roaring lion, Satan. Because that verse says this. We often use this out of context as preachers, and I love that verse, and I quote it all the time. But it says, seeking whom he may devour. But if you believe the Bible, Satan is not able to devour saved people. So the verse really isn't written. He may devour your life and devour, but he can't devour you totally. It's not possible when you're saved. So when you got saved, God shut the mouth of the roaring lion. And never again did Daniel have to go into a lion's den. And never again do you have to go into a lion's den. Because God has already shut the mouth of the lion. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, Thank you for this night you've given us, opportunity to look at your word. Thank you for your word that is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Lord, that we have an opportunity to pray and we can come to you and saved. Lord, we want to thank you that you can stop the mouths of enemies. You can stop the mouths of anybody who would try to hurt us or harm us. And tonight, Lord, I just pray that you would allow us an opportunity, a sweet time of prayer, a sweet hour of prayer here. We can come to the altar now or at our seats, whatever it is. And let's just thank God and be encouraged about who God is and what God's done and what God is doing tonight. Lord, have your way and will with this time of invitation and appeal. If you're here tonight and you say, Pastor, I'm not saved. I don't know that the lion's mouth has been shut for me. Then you come to me right here tonight and we'll get that settled. Me, you, and the Lord, and the Word of God.
Yeah. Bear your cross as you wait for the crown. Tell